Today our object is going to be silver as we continue our series of look at objects found in the Bible from which to derive spiritual insight. Today's will be silver, to be exact, silver money, and to even be more exact, 30 pieces of silver money. If you're familiar with Scripture, of course, you are aware I'm talking about the betrayal money that Jesus received from the scribes and the Pharisees for selling out Jesus Christ prior to his arrest and trial and crucifixion. The moment is at the Lord's Supper, and normally as a church today would observe the Lord's Supper, this is one aspect of the event that no one ever calls to mind, no one ever tries to duplicate. It's not something that we observe today as we observe the Lord's Supper. Judas had sold, in a real sense, the life of Christ for 30 pieces of silver to his betrayers, to those who wanted him to be eliminated from the earthly scene. Judas was at the Lord's table. It was really the Passover feast. The 12 disciples were all sitting around the table, or at least I guess they were lying around the floor. That's the way they ate in that day. And just prior to the final arrangements that Judas would make to betray Jesus, we find Jesus speaking of something about to be done by one of the disciples that truly is shocking to the entire group. And that is from Matthew 26:14-16. Then one of the 12, called Judas, went unto the chief priest and said to them, "What will you give me if I deliver Christ unto you?" And they made a promise to him of 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment on, Judas sought an opportunity to betray him. And of course, he did go ahead and complete that betrayal, and Jesus was arrested in the garden. My question is, what is symbolized by the 30 pieces of silver? You say, well, blood money. No, that's not really what is symbolized by the 30 pieces of silver. I want to say to you, what it symbolizes is unnatural affection that Jesus received from the hands of Judas. As we look at the 3 years that Christ and Judas walked together, you ask the question, how could Judas have stooped so low? How could he have been willing to do such a horrible thing? How could he be so ungrateful and so inconsiderate all these 3 years that he had walked with Christ? How could he have become so heartless that he would take part in plotting, in a real sense, the murder or the death of Jesus Christ? Some would say of Judas, he must have become inhuman. Now, if you go to the dictionary and look up the word inhuman, you find these words, not having the consideration and feelings regarded as normal for human beings. In other words, Judas sunk to a level lower than we would classify as a human being. He was acting like a human being should not act. How a human being should never become. Natural affection, then, would be what humanity would call normal. Judas, at some point, I would assume up to this betrayal, revealed a normal, natural affection for Christ all those years. For those 3.5 years, 3 to 3.5 years, everyone assumed that every one of the 12 disciples had a natural affection for Christ. what we would call they were human. They acted like human beings. They cared about Jesus. That's normal. And so keep that word in your mind. That's normal. And yet something happens to Judas. Something snaps and he becomes inhuman. He becomes abnormal. And now we see Judas at its worst. Now Judas has become a dangerous human being because now he is less than human, he is inhuman. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, how devastating was the fall into the sin? How devastating was the sinful nature? How devastating was the power of the lust of the flesh that immediately took place in their spirit and soul? How complete was their fall? How much damage did the fall do to their original state, which was a state of godlikeness? I cannot be specific on this, and theologians down through the years have made this a real big topic of debate and discussion and controversy. And so I can't really state to you how much different would Adam and Eve and us as their descendants be today than the original before the fall. How far have we fallen? I'll give you one thing I think I can say about this. The fall did not leave Adam and Eve as low as they could become. In other words, man today, even though he is a fallen creature, a descendant of Adam and Eve, he can become worse off than the original fall of Adam and Eve left him in the garden. I can be worse than I'm born in sinful nature with. The damage that has already been done to the human family through the fall of Adam and Eve is not as bad as they can continue to fall after the original fall. Maybe I'm confusing you here. What I'm saying here, you're born bad, but you can become worse. You're not as low at your birth in the fallen state of Adam and Eve. You're not as low as you can go at the moment of your birth when you inherit the sinful nature of Adam and Eve. You can go a lot lower than what we would call normal as a result of the fall. In Romans 1, Paul tells in chapter 1 of Romans a description of fallen man. Verses 21, 25 to 28, Paul says this in Romans 1, because when he talks about the people now, they are fallen people, fallen in sin, have a fallen nature. They knew not God. They glorified Him not as God. They were not thankful to Him as God, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened more than it already was. They're getting worse now. And they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they began to worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is to be blessed forever. They became worse, you see, than the fall left them. And because they became worse, God gave them up unto vile affections, much more vile than they had as a result of the fall. Women did change the natural, now notice, natural, normal use into that which is against nature. And likewise the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to return to God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, they were left in the fall in a bad state. But they fell lower. And the illustration Paul says here, in the fall, you still had it normal, a relationship between a man and a woman. But man made it worse. And as you go on, we find man takes up morality with animals and then immorality with the same sex, which we have it all over the place today. Now, that's falling lower than the fall of Adam and Eve left man. Man can get worse than the fall left him. Romans 1:31 continues with a consequence of going down further. They are without understanding. They are covenant breakers. And then notice, they are now even without natural affection. The fall left Adam and Eve with natural affection. Not supernatural affection. They had that before the fall, but at least the fall left them with natural affection. But now we find God is going to turn them loose, let them go, and they're going to drop down to a level Paul talks of as unnatural affection. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he speaks of this as being one of the indicators, one of the signs of the near return of the Lord back to this earth, that once again men will have hearts revealing unnatural affection. There are three kinds of affection spoken of in Scripture. There is supernatural affection, which only a man who has been redeemed by the blood of the Lord, who has been saved, who has given his life to Christ, who is now a regenerated, saved person, that person is capable of supernatural affection, love on the level of God. The second thing, the Bible says, there is a natural affection. This is capable of both redeemed and also of those who are not redeemed. Normal people born in the fallen state who never find Christ as their Lord and Savior have the ability to show forth natural affection. Then we drop down to a third level in Scripture. It's called unnatural affection. And this is a degraded state. This is acting less than human. This is acting on a sub-level far beneath what is normal. This is unnatural affection. Normally, when you talk about natural affection, our mind turns to the family. That is, a person is due certain consideration, a natural affection, because they are your child, they are your mother, they are your father, your brothers, your sisters, and so forth. They are entitled to a special consideration by you because they are kin to you. That is called normally natural affection. But you and I are living in a day now when unnatural affection is threatening our entire society's existence and safety. You have over 1 million mothers today who are declaring death upon their children. We call it abortion. They're killing their own babies. And you ask, where on earth is the natural affection? Even animals don't kill their own babies. But you see, man has dropped down to a level far worse than the fall. Now we have, in a real sense, controlling the mentality of millions of people, the idea of killing is all right, but that, you see, is unnatural. It's not natural to go around killing unborn babies. We have fathers and mothers abusing, molesting their sons and their daughters. Where is the natural affection? This is not natural. This is not right. This is not normal. This is subnormal. Unnatural. Today you have husbands beating up wives and maybe some wives beating up husbands. That's not natural. That's unnatural. That's wrong. That's lower than the animals. Divorce has reached epidemic proportions. Where is the natural affection that we used to have even 50 years ago between a man and a woman, whether Christian or non-Christian? I'm saying there used to be natural consideration, natural courtesy, natural etiquette, natural concern, natural care. What has happened in our marriages to natural affection? People today are just going down the street killing people, just as they say, for the sheer fun of it, to watch somebody die. Where is the natural affection for the life of another human being? I mean, our society is disintegrating, and people are saying, we're getting worse. What we're getting, folks, is unnatural. We're sinking down to the lowest level man can go, far lower than Adam and Eve found themselves following their sin in the garden. Our society is coming apart at the seams. Why? Because unnatural affection is the end thing. It's the thing to do. It's the thing that's being promoted. Destroying another person's happiness, another person's life, another person's sanity, another person's health, destroying another person's possessions, all these things become the goals of people who are bound up in unnatural affection. And that's the goal, seemingly, of more and more people in our society. And everyone's wringing their hands, what are we going to do? I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, this country has gotten itself into a state of being unnatural. We're worse off than the fall ever left us. The day's philosophy is, and this is unnatural affection, people, in life, you get what you want, no matter what it costs other people. You get what you want, no matter what harm is done to society or anyone else. You get what you want, no matter the consequences of your act. Now, that's unnatural thinking. We call it selfishness. We call it self-centeredness. But I mean, on the ultimate bottom of the rung of selfishness is where you have unnatural affection. And that's where we're fast becoming today. And it's becoming apparent that almost everybody in our society, but somehow we're going to have to restore some sanity to our people. We're going to have to restore somehow a policy of a return to natural affection in our society. As some say, a kinder, gentler society. What we're really saying is we need to return to a natural affection policy. If I was a politician, that'd be the number one theme of my political campaign. I'm going to return this country to natural affection. Of course, I wouldn't be able to do it. It takes God to do it. It takes conversion to do it. It takes a new life to do it. But that is exactly where I think our nation is going to be rescued if it's going to have any chance at all. We hear people say, well, how much worse can things get? Well, brethren, I don't know just how low man can fall in the unnatural affection category. But I know this, things are getting worse and worse, and man's affection level is going down and down and down. I don't know how much lower it can take us without totally destroying our entire society. And again, I say the only solution to the problem of unnatural love, we have a new problem in this country. 40 years ago, we had sin. We didn't have too much of the unnatural love problem. Now we've got a society that is seemingly dominated by the unnatural love theory, philosophy, practice. We've never had to deal in this country with a society like we have today where the problem is unnatural love. And I say the only solution now, since we have dropped out of the natural love, natural affection category, we're going to have a supernatural love revival. And you're talking about a revival that's going to change the hearts of millions of people. And you just don't snap your finger and get that kind of revival. I mean, folks, in unnatural love positions are going to be a lot more difficult to win to the Lord than those who have a natural love position, who are also lost. And Romans 5:5 tells us this, "The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given us." You know what that saying is? God's Spirit in the redeemed gives their heart the ability to have supernatural love. Supernatural love is the answer. Not natural love. You're not going to bring a man with unnatural affection up to natural affection. He's done gone too low. Only God can raise people up. And if God's going to raise a man up, He's going to raise him up a notch above natural affection, because Adam and Eve in their fallen state had that. He's going to raise him up to a supernatural affection level. But only God shedding His love in a man's heart can do that. That's called conversion. That's called spiritual transformation. That's called regeneration. That's called a new birth. And that's the only way. You can pass all the rules and elect all the officials you want. And a lot of them we're electing, I'm afraid, have unnatural affection as their platform. God help us in this country. He will if we'll turn to Him and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and get our supernatural affection ability that He can give us. In John 15:13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now that's supernatural affection. Unnatural affection says, "I'm going to lay down the life of my friend. I'm going to do anything I can to get what I want. I don't care about somebody else." Supernatural affection says, "I care about you. And I'll even lose my own life and deny myself my own happiness. Deny my own plans because I love you." That's supernatural love. You can get that out of a Valentine card, but you can't get that out of the hubby's heart or the wife's heart or the children's heart. That's going to require supernatural affection. The problem with just getting ourselves back up to the natural affection level is natural affection just majors too much on the bare minimum. Boy, it'd be a lot better than abnormal affection, what we've got now. But it's still very, very far beneath and inferior to supernatural affection. Natural affection majors on the minimum. Supernatural affection majors on going the second mile. Denying yourself for the sake of somebody else. Another person's happiness comes ahead of your happiness. That's supernatural affection. A lot of Christians try to live the Christian life on the level of just natural affection. You know what happens when you do that? Let me tell you how natural affection makes you think. A natural affection means I'm just going to do a minimum of concern. I'm going to show a minimum of consideration. I'm going to show a minimum of kindness. And so if I'm going to operate my spiritual life on normal affection, which is the level of Adam and Eve at their fall, then I'm going to pray as little as I need to and have to and care to and have the time to and want to for others and God's will and God's work. I'll pray a little. And then, too, I'll give a little. Not a lot. That's supernatural affection. I'll give a little. Unnatural, I don't give a flip. Natural, I'll give a little. Supernatural, I'll give it all, if that's what it takes. Natural affection says, I'll care a little. Unnatural, I don't care at all. Supernatural, I care. As long as the care is needed. Natural affection says, I'll help a little. Supernatural, I'll help a lot. But you see, the bare minimum of natural level is, I'll give a little, help a little, care a little, pray a little, I'll do a little. Well, brethren, how good it would be if we could just have a little being done today by the majority of the American people. But Christian, you're not supposed to live your life on the normal affection level. You're just going to do a little. I go to church a little. I read my Bible a little. I witness a little. Yeah. You need to do more than a little. You need to do what supernatural love would require of you. In other words, God can count on me how much? A little. That's the philosophy of a lot of Christian people. I have natural affection for God. Hey, the Spirit's supposed to give into your heart supernatural affection. You know that give a little stuff? Where is that give a lot stuff? The next level down from natural affection is unnatural. You better be careful. You better be at the level of supernatural. If you're going to drop, at least you drop to natural. If you drop from natural, you drop to unnatural. And now you're down around the level below the angels. You can fall lower than the angels fell. Man was made a little lower than the angels. He can fall lower than the angels fell. Now the Christian ought to have supernatural affection operating in his life. Natural affection is just too fickle. It's too subject to change, to circumstances, to moods. I mean, you can't depend on natural affection to stay there very long. You'll be sweet one minute, bitter the next. Caring one minute and cruel the next. Nice one minute, mean the next. As Christians, we need to dwell in the realm of supernatural affection.